Let me ask you to open your Bibles, the book of Acts, chapter 10, and we'll continue here. Again, we're looking at the early church, and when we look at this, we can examine exactly how God sent his message out into the world. There's an important question today that many people ask, and that is, how does the Holy Spirit work today? How does the Holy Spirit work today? Does the Holy Spirit work in the same way he did with the apostles on Pentecost and in the household of Cornelius? Those are two examples where we see the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Is it important to understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Yes, it is. Because there are those who claim today that they are exactly baptized by the Holy Spirit in the same way the apostles were on Pentecost. Is that a true statement? No, it is not. And again, if we're going to be faithful to God, we need to discern the truth, know what the truth is. And it's important for each of us to be able to do that. Recently, somebody said to me, if you need something, shout. I'm shouting! I love that phrase, if you need something, shout. Do we all need to be right with God? Do we all need to have our sins forgiven? Do we all need the love of our Father? Yes, we do. I'll be shouting all day if I'm going to do that. But I won't be shouting. I'll keep it. But we all need something, and that is we need to have a right relationship with God. If you don't have a right relationship with God, when you breathe your last breath, what's going to happen? It's all over. Had an example of somebody, and I guess in a volcano, got overwhelmed by all that. That's what's going to happen. You are destroyed for eternity. So you need to make sure before you leave today that your heart is right with God to take those steps. Now, I want to tie this in today to the idea about how the gospel message is to be preached. In Acts chapter 10, in verse 29, we see here that Peter has now came to Cornelius. And Cornelius says to him, therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked them, for what reason have you sent for me? Peter saying, why did you call me? Down in verse 32, he tells him an angel spoke to him. And the angel said, send therefore to Joppa, call Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. Now, I'm emphasizing the idea of speak to you. Today, how does one hear the gospel or the good news of Jesus Christ? How do they hear it or how do they know it? They can either read God's word for themselves or they're going to hear somebody speak to them about Jesus. Is that a true statement? And this is so important because that's the distinction about how the Holy Spirit works today. Does the Holy Spirit work today? Yes, he does. But he doesn't work the same way he did for everyone on Pentecost, or when the message was preached at the household of Cornelius. There's a distinction. And I want to point that out, because there, Simon Peter is there at the household of Cornelius, and he's going to speak some words to them. Now look at verse 33. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Now note that again. We want to hear all the things that you made up, all the things that make you feel good. No, we want to hear the things that are commanded you by God. And there's the distinction. So when Peter and the apostles were preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, they were preaching those things that had been revealed to them through the Holy Spirit. I want to point this out because today, is there anybody here who has the ability to preach things by inspiration as the Apostle Peter did, or the Apostle John, or the Apostle... No! Now, I pray to God before I ever come up here to preach. And when I pray to God, I pray that I speak what? Speak the truth. Only preach what the Word says, and that's it. All glory goes to who? To God. To God is the glory. So whenever, anytime somebody preaches the Word, they should turn to God and pray that from what they are doing, they're doing it and it pleases God. Only revealing his word and nothing more. So verse 33, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Then look at verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth. In truth, I perceive that God shows no what? No partiality. We are all the same before God. All the same before God. And when we stand before him, we're going to be judged. And that judgment is all going to be based on what? On his word. That's it. Either we are doing what God has instructed us to do, or we're not doing what God has instructed us to do. There is no partiality with God, as stated here. He says in verse 35, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Now again, important, God shows no partiality. Can we be guilty of showing partiality? Yes, we can. The church is warned. Somebody comes in here and they have a Mercedes-Benz out there, and they come out, and or somebody comes up and they're just walking down the street, barely able to get here. Can we judge people by the way they look, the way they talk, the way they act? We can be guilty of that. But when it comes to the household of God, we're all what? The same before him. We are one family. And God wants us to not treat anybody with any partiality in that sense. So here it says, in truth, I perceive God shows no partiality. Whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Now, what that means is every person who is accepted by God must meet certain conditions. But what are those conditions? Where can we find them? Aren't they laid out somewhere? Yes, they are. I read recently that Marion County is one of the worst places in the country for education. Now, that's a horrible thing to think about. They're rated so low. Bottom three are the worst three. And I'm thinking about that. How could that possibly be? Because when you read something like that, they're going to start blaming someone, aren't they? I'm going to tell you right now, when it comes to education, who's responsible for their education? Who's responsible? Each person is personally responsible. It doesn't matter what your conditions are, how difficult it is your personal responsibility to learn. How do I know that? I was a teacher for 28 years. And I know that because when I taught kids, there were some kids there for one reason, and it wasn't to learn. But there were other kids completely different. They were struggling, but they wanted to learn. And they were willing to put the effort in to learn how to learn. So in the same thing, when it comes to being a Christian, are you a Christian? When it comes to being a Christian, it takes effort. You have to want to be a Christian. You have to want to put the effort in. And part of that effort is knowing exactly what God's word says. Let's turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 172. Because if we want to meet the conditions that God set out, we need to know what his conditions are. In Psalm 119, verse 172, it says, my tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Psalm 119, verse 172. All your commandments are righteousness. Are there commandments in God's word for us to obey? Are there commandments? Yes, there are. I gave a list I found somewhere. There's over 600 different commandments in the New Testament. Now, let me ask you a question. All your commandments are righteousness. Now, does God expect us to follow his commandments? Oh, wait, I don't like these 20 over here, so I'm going to take those 20 out. I'll do all the rest, but those 20 commandments I refuse to do. Is God going to be pleased with you if you do that? No. I don't know if God ever said this to somebody, but it's my way or what? Or the highway. My way or the highway. It's God's way. And we have to follow all of his commandments. Let's turn now to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. Is it important to obey him? Yes, it is. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who what? All who obey him. So your salvation is based on your obedience to God. And if you're going to obey God, then you need to know what his commandments are, if you're going to follow him. Let's turn now to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. I'm going to ask you a question. If you're a Christian here today, do you love God? You know, the Bible says you're to love God how? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And when you look at that, that means with every bit of your being, you are to love God. Is that an option or a command? That's a command. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And then you spend some time thinking about that command, what it means. Everything belongs to who? To the Lord. Everything belongs to Him. You belong to God. And the Bible talks about that very clearly. Does God love you? Yes, He does. God so loved the world, what did He do? He gave His only begotten Son. So God loves us. He expects us to love Him. And Galatians 5, verse 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through what? Faith working through love. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see how all these things tie together? Cornelius, with all his friends and family, were waiting for Peter to come to their home. And when he came, what were they anxious to do? They wanted to hear the words that God wanted them to tell them. They wanted to hear the words. Now there's the distinction. Because there are people today who claim they are speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit told me to say this. I had a dream. Does God work that way today? No. And that's the important thing. The only way today that we as individuals can know what God's will is through His Word. We need to know God's Word. Let's turn to John 14, verse 15. John 14, verse 15. Again, I asked the question, if you love God, and I think most people here said, yes, they love the Lord. In John 14, verse 15, He says, if you love Me, keep My commandments. Now, does He emphasize keeping commandments? Yes, He does. Faith is based on obedience. Obedience to what? His commandments. If you love Me, you will keep My commandments. So anyone who loves God, who fears God, they're going to strive to be obedient to Him in every way. Now, Cornelius and his household, as we'll see later, they listened to Peter's word. And when they listened to his word, they wanted to do what? They wanted to obey the word. Now here's a distinction I'm going to make, spend some time on, about the Holy Spirit. It's important because many people in the world today who claim to follow God have the wrong teaching and understanding of how the Holy Spirit works today. They believe they have to have a Holy Spirit baptism. They believe they have to speak in tongues. Is that a true statement? Yes. Let's now go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 1. Because the way the Holy Spirit operated then and now are two different things. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, it commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. He's giving them a promise. Who's He speaking to? His apostles. Wait for the promise. He says, you have heard of Me, verse 5, For John truly baptized with water, but you, his apostles, shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Who's going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? The apostles. Wait for me and wait for this in Jerusalem. You're going to receive power from on high. Does that passage apply to you and me today? Is Jesus speaking to you and me, telling me to wait in Jerusalem? No. What is Jesus talking about? Look at verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all the end of the earth. So when they receive this power from on high in Jerusalem, they're going to be witnesses of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What's that mean? They're going to go out into the world and do what? Preach the gospel, the good news. Now again, is that verse, verse 8, apply to you and me today? Am I going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit and then become a witness? Did you witness his death on that cross? Were you a witness of his resurrection? No. So those who claim to have the gift of the Holy Spirit, the power that these apostles have, they are lying to you. And many people are deceived today because of that. Go to Acts chapter 2. Now it takes place. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So there is the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. They were able to speak in what? Gibberish? No. They spoke in tongues. People who were there understood in their own language what was being said. This is miraculous because they didn't learn those languages. And in the Jerusalem at that time, there were people from many different lands, countries, many different languages. And when the apostles spoke, they heard them in their language. Is that a miracle? Yes, it is. Now, he begins to speak. They're amazed. They're confused. What's going on here? These people are Galileans. And yet I hear him speak in my own language. Now, what does Peter say? He says, you all need to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. You all need to be able to speak in tongues. Does he say that to them? No. Look what he says. Go down to verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. Emphasis. Heed my words. He's going to speak to them. He's going to speak to them as the Holy Spirit reveals to him those things that need to be said. And we don't have time to go into detail, but what he speaks to them is he speaks to them about Jesus Christ. He points to prophecy. He shows by prophecy that this is the Messiah who has fulfilled prophecy. And that now you need to know certain things. So he didn't tell them you need to be speaking tongues, you need to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. What did he tell them? You need to heed my words. Listen to what I'm saying. Do we heed the Lord's words today? Or can we heed or listen to the word of the Lord today? Are you doing that right now? I hope so. I hope you're not asleep. Because God's word can be spoken. When I read it, I'm speaking what? His word. And today, the way the Holy Spirit works with us today is we need to heed his words. Know his words. Be obedient to his words. That's the way it's done. Now let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Just to kind of tie this in. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. Because his word, if you're turning there right now, you have his word in your hand. Heed his what? Words. And look what it says. All scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. That the men of God may be what? Perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The only way that we can be right before God is through being obedient to his word. That's the only way. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Again, the same idea. Be diligent. Some versions say study to show yourself. Be diligent to present yourself approved unto God. And what that means, it takes work, it takes effort, it takes energy. It's not something you just kind of do, well, okay, I'll do that tomorrow. That means you need to be diligent every moment. Be vigilant, always. A worker who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing it. Now, it doesn't take a mathematician, but when it says to rightly divide it, what does that imply? Is it possible to wrongly divide it? To wrongly understand it? Yes, it is. So what we have this commandment, look at that again, 15, that is a commandment. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker does not need to be ashamed, rightly divine the word of truth. And then the next verse, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And he goes on to condemn certain individuals who are doing those things. We're going to stop here, but God willing, continue to look at the book of Acts. But the main point I wanted to bring out today is how the Holy Spirit worked then with the apostles and how the Holy Spirit works today. Is it the same? No. Anyone who speaks today is not speaking because God is directly inspiring them to speak in that way. The apostles had the power from on high to do that. But when Peter had that power, when he was speaking there by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what'd he tell him? Listen to me. Heed my words. And if you go on in Acts chapter 2, did they listen to what he said? Did they listen to his words? They did. And they were convicted because they said, men, what do we do? They understood that they had killed the Messiah. They understood that they had sinned. And they asked, what do we do? What did Peter say? Speak in tongues. No. He told them exactly what they needed to do. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're here this morning, you've not yet obeyed the gospel, you need to do the same thing. You need to heed those words. Because what did he tell them to do? Repent. Repent of what? Sin. Repent and be what? Baptized. In the name of Jesus Christ for what? The remission of sin. Did any of them heed his words on that day? I think a couple did, didn't they? Was it two or three? No, several thousand that day were there. They heard the word. They were convicted. And they understood that they were not right with God. And they understood if they wanted to be right with God, They needed to heed the words and be obedient to them. So yes, the Holy Spirit today, we are influenced by the Holy Spirit through His Word. That's how. Through His Word. None of us today receives direct revelation in the same way the apostles did. Not to my knowledge. Now I'm going to maybe say just a caveat here. If God chose to do that, could He do it? Yes, He could. If God chose to do it, He could. But each of us as individuals, if we're going to heed His words, we need to go to His Word, to the Bible. If you're here this morning, you've not yet obeyed the gospel, we want to encourage you to take that step. And if you're a brother or sister in Christ, if you need the prayer of this congregation, please come forward now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.